is a very big question. Ein adam chaytelem kein nichnas by ruach shtus. Mentioned last time that that klal does not apply to a person who's been transformed by his chait or by his hashkofa, which is keneged hashkofa satayra, because that envelops him and changes him and changes his whole way of thinking, and suddenly osur becomes mutar, mutar becomes osur, and this corruption is inherent to his personality already. And I said that that's the pshat of the pasuk vayelchu achrei hevel vayehebolu. They became that hevel. But when a person is not corrupt, how does he ever do an aveira? So part of it, Fashteitzach, is an inyan of emuna, shutekim ashmoy. They say that the Beis Halevi's Yira Shamayim was such that he understood that it's not shayach to do an aveira because he's terrified of the idea of doing an aveira, and terrified of the consequences of the aveira, sai mitzad, punishment, and sai mitzad, the transformation, the olam esal yonim that Reb Chaim Volozhiner speaks about in Nefesh HaChayim. When a person contemplates the oimek hadin and contemplates the oimek hahashpa that the aveira can achieve, so he's enveloped with a tremendous yira. Furthermore, if a person really senses the malchus of Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chayr it should be impossible to do any aveiros at all. Also, if a person's mole avas Hashem, so you don't want to let the Ribbono Shel'olam down, ki'ilu. Every child wants to look good in the eyes of his father. But take all of that together, l'chayr it should be almost impossible to do an aveira b'chlav. So Chazal tell us, ein achanami, ein adam chaytei, elam kei nichnas bay ruach shtus. They say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov on the Pasuk Ein Sur Kelokeinu. Chazal tell us Ein Sur, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu. There's no painter like the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it mean? So he said a very interesting point which maybe helps us understand a little bit how it's possible to end up doing aveiros. He says, whenever you have a painter, and he could be the greatest painter in the world, the most capable of putting into a piece of canvas a picture that looks so real and with such depth that you see it as a three-dimensional portrait or a three-dimensional creation. Athal Piquet, not only do we know that it's two-dimensional, that it's on a canvas, but no matter how good he is, he cannot really fool the eye to such an extent that we should think that this is real. When we say it looks real, it's a compliment to the painter, but it looks real. It's like ke'ilu, not the thing itself. But there's one painter that paints so well that two-dimensional ke'ilu looks like three-dimensional mamish. That which we see looks so real that we identify with it as our reality, even though it's not. In the same way that the painter's canvas is not reality, in the same way Olam Hazeh is not reality. But the painting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu painted was so successful that we see it as reality. And because we see this world as reality, that's Ein Sur Kelekeinu, Ein Sayar Kelekeinu, we do not understand the consequences of our actions in any other world or in the next world. And because of that, we are very, very severely tested because we need a Tayridika imagination. And without that constant sense of imagination in a very real and profound way affecting what we do, we get reduced by the Olam Hazeh reality that we see with our senses, and we lose a sense of the ultimate reality which motivates us in a very different way. Had a person been completely confined or controlled by his emunah that there is that ultimate reality, and he never sees this world except in that context, it would probably be impossible to do any aveira at all. So the nichnas by ruach shtus needs a background. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yirat shamayim of a madrega like the Beis Halevi speaks about, it's not shayach for the shtus to enter, because the mitzias is so clear And the consequences are so frightening that Yira is a milsa zutrisa. The example, of course, that the Beis Halevi gave in the explanation of that Gemara, Ata Yira milsa zutrisa in Legabe Moshe, is that when a person is walking across a bridge, and not walking but running, not running but on fire. Why is he on fire? Because he's chasing a Dover Chel Taiva. He wants to steal, he wants to do something that's Osir, Taiva's Noshim, whatever it is. He's running, but he has to run across a bridge, or across a lake that's iced over, or whatever. And all of a sudden, the lake cracks, the ice cracks, and he sees that before him, he's going to drown in the frozen water. Or he sees that the bridge is rickety, and it's about to collapse. Any person on earth is going to completely forget his taipa at that moment. Azei zok the Beis Halevi. And not only zok the Beis Halevi, it's the Chadava Poshut. Because a person is interested in saving his life. For tomorrow's taipa maybe, what's the difference? But he wants to save his life, that's paramount. So he completely forgets about his taipa. Zok the Beis Halevi, that our Yira Shamayim should be such that we are feeling at this moment that we're mamish crossing a bridge that's about to cave in. So of course, if a person has that hasaga, how does he develop a hasaga like that? He's not crossing a bridge that's about to cave in. So how can he have such a hasaga? The Teretz says he has to have that understanding that that's what it is. So if a person realizes the chaymer hadavar, and he sees the churban that he's making in all the olamos, and he understands the consequences of the punishment, and he realizes that there's such a thing called Gehenna, so if such a person, it's very hard for him to do an aver. Just want to be moisif that they say in the name of the Gra that in a certain tkufa, from the Petira till the Kvura at least, the neshama of the person hovers around and he is informed, he realizes all the things that he could have done right and all the things that he did wrong and the consequences of what could have happened and the Gan Eden and the Madregas in the Olam HaSal Yoinim that he could have achieved had he only done things correctly, and the Agmas Nefesh, that it's too late now, and he can't ever fix that, which he could have done with the Dov HaKal when he was alive, is so enormous that it's worse than any Gehenna. That this Yesoid is only if you have that kind of imagination. And if a person is Zoicha to it, he is probably not likely to be Chayta. So Chazal tell us that Ein Adam Chayta Elam Kei Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. So this Ruach Shtus means that we are blinded to that ultimate reality. That's Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. The Shtus is that we see what's in front of our eyes exclusively. And we do not take anything else into account. So now the Shaila is as follows. If a person is not a maimon, I understand. But if a person is a maimon, and it's proven that he's a maimon because he's Moisei Nefesh for all sorts of things that only a maimon would be Moisei Nefesh for, then how does it happen that he loses that imagination? What is it about the taiva that damages his bechira? Because to have bechira, you have to be able to make a decision. That means you have a shikul. There are two sides. And the inyan of Nichlas by Ruach Shtus is that you don't have two sides anymore. So how did that happen? How did you lose the Bechira? As a Meiridika Kasha, it's very interesting. I'd like to give you the example of Kas. This is all by way of introduction to the words of the Michtav Melio on this inyan. A person falls into a Kas. The great Yesod of Kas, I always told a person, that if we were able to have a photographer, a movie maker, walk around behind us all day long, and he would catch us 24/7, they have these cameras that are running like a security camera, but this would be with us all day long, and there would be a Maisa Shahaya. A person has a bad day in the office, and he's very miserable. He comes home, and the soup is not so warm. So the soup is not so warm. Luis was. And he talks to his wife, and he tells his wife, "You're here a whole day. Ich arbeit war feld. I had a miserable day at the office, and you can't even make a bissel warme soup. Could you explain to me why the soup has to be cold? What was it? You're talking to your friends the whole day? the hacking a Chinik on the telephone. He's saying Lashon Hara Yoimim V'Layla. And then he takes the soup and he spills it on the floor. And she starts to cry and he starts yelling at her, every time I tell you some Musa, you start to cry. Why don't you change? Why don't you become a mensch? Why do I have to suffer from you so much? And you think it's the soup? The soup is nothing. And then he was lays a list from Sheishis he made Reishis. And it could be Lehafa Chulsa, you know. It could be the other way around too. But Vibal Weirman's bill, so I'm giving that much. The fact of the matter is that if somebody would take a video of this scene and play it back in a moment of calm, and Lemaisa, he's very happy and he has a wonderful marriage, the Etzim. So what's the pshat? He was seized by the kas that enveloped him and took control. That's not kilu avid avadizara, that's like it's teaching how terrible it is. So you're giving an example that's chomer. It is kilu avid avadizara, because you are allowing a nether koyach to take over, and you are a ki'ilu, an eved to that koyach. And the only koyach you're supposed to be an eved to is the Eibishter. This person is allowing this koyach to take over and control him, essentially against his basic moral will. So how is that possible? Weistois, that we have koyches ha-nefesh that are able to blind us, to completely eliminate the shikul of bechira. Now, a person has a special. I mean, it's an imaginary thing that I'm telling you now. I'm just painting a picture. There's a certain person, call him Chaim Yankel. Chaim Yankel has a special kayach. No one else has such a kayach. What's his kayach? There's a little person, an inner ear, that's whispering in his inside him in advance of everything that he does, a conscience, but it talks to him. And he comes home, and he sits down by the soup. And the voice says like this, you had a very hard day at the office. You're not in a good mood, and you're very irritated, and all your nerves are on fire. There's a very big sakana now, that you're going to let ois on somebody that's near and dear to you, and that's mois and nefesh to you, and cares about you, yoim and v'layla, a kas that's totally unnecessary and inappropriate. Because you're really angry at the boss, and you're really frustrated at your matzah. You don't care about the soup, you care about whether the soup is cold or not. So let's say you're going to take the soup now, and I know that the soup is a little cold, I'm whispering into your ear, the soup is a little cold. But you're not going to take that out on your wife. How can you take it out on your wife? So he says to the inner voice, you know something? Of course you're right, it's ridiculous. What do I care if the soup is cold or the soup is not cold? Big deal. I take it over to the microwave, I stick it in for 30 seconds, I press the button, gemein, I have it as hot as I want. And then he says, you know what? She's looking at your face, and she sees that you're upset, you're depressed. Remember I told you once in the shiur earlier, why don't you tell her that you had a hard day in the office, but when you come home, everything is all right, because you see her, and everything melts away to nothing. So this is ein sin, this is nachas sin. Where's the inner voice? Where's the inner voice? So kas has a kayach that comes from a lack of musa. That's the fact. When a person is a Baal Musa, he's in control because he has that inner voice. And the yisoid of all Baali Musa is to achieve the inner voice. That when you come to a matzav, the shikul of the matzav is a shikul of das. So you'll have a lot of the Musa Sforim have the lotion of das. Das chochma Musa, you know, das. There has to be a control. And the control is das. When das is suspended, the koichos hakeim, the nether koichos of a person, whether it's taiva or kas, or any of those things, obliterates all opposition and paralyzes the ability to make the right decision. It's only if the prior das prevents the kaas from ever taking over. Once the kaas takes over, the person is lost. Until the kaas settles. And the video is shown to the person after the fact, and he says, "Oy vey, was v'achubin hab ich gemacht von Shtusim in Havolim. And how will I ever be able to repair this?" And I want you to know, Rabbi Isai, there's another koyach that a person has, and especially women, I think, they never forget. So if there's an avla from 20 Yot Tzadik, somewhere it remains buried. And just like there's a pasuk, "Zachati lo chesed nurayach, avas klul asayach," is faran bazei a pasuk fakert. So she responds to him. She says, "You're yelling me about the soup, and now you're yelling me about this, and yelling me about that. You were never my friend. You never cared about me. I remember that when we were going out already, you didn't close the door, you didn't open the door, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And they warned me about you. And I said, nah, he's you know, yeshiva bacher, you know, whatever. But they warned me, they told me. And I didn't listen. I was young, I was stupid. But if I would have listened, I would have had a normal life. Instead of having a person that yells about the soup, and that makes me miserable all day, and doesn't appreciate a thing I do for him." You think that that's not the same as the kaas? It's the same thing. A person has no right to make a mountain out of a molehill. A person has no right not to see beyond, to say, "Oy, to be able to be in kaas like that about such a shtus, he must have had a really miserable day." But who's on the madrega after hearing such a litany of complaints and of avarus that she did and of things that she didn't do right and v'chulu v'chulu, should be able to overcome all of that hurt and say, "Mistama, the pshat is that he had a bad day." So what do? So you take the mop and you wipe up the floor and say, "You know something, you're right. The soup was taka cold. Let me make you a nice plate of soup again. And let's sit down and discuss your day, because I think you had a very hard day. But we'll overcome all obstacles and everything will be wonderful." I mean, that's not, so the teretz is, because the koiches hakeim come in many different packages. And the packages basically suspend the higher level of a person, his ability to transcend himself, to ignore avla, to be meichel on his covered, v'chulei v'chulei. That is a remarkable thing. There's a Mishnah Brura that really is quoting the Mate Ephraim. In the Sefer Shar Ephraim, which he wrote, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, the God Lador, he wrote a Sefer specifically on Inyoni Kriyas HaTorah. It's called Shar Ephraim. And in that Sefer, he speaks about the role of the Gabbai. And the Mishnah Brura quotes from that Sefer that when a Gabbai is at his post, he should know that he's in a very high madrega, because if you look at the array of people, there's the Baal Koyre, there's the Oyle LaTayra, and there's the Chazan de Gabbai. And each one has a role that reflects Maimed HaSinai. In Maimed HaSinai, there was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there was Klal Yisrael, and there was the intermediary who gave the same way. There is the equivalent, three people that represent those three. Therefore, he says, given the significance of the Gabbai's position and the whole tzura of what that Maimon HaSinai recreation of every Kriyas HaTorah represents, chas v'sholom that the Gabbai should run away from his post. Why should the Gabbai run away from his post? Because the Oyle was not happy with him, and he let him apartia. So just because the Oyle is not beseder, don't take it out on the Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Shar Ephraim. Imagine a person is a Gabbai, but he's also a human being. And when a human being hears that somebody's yelling at him, is he on the Madrega to think for a moment, even before the kaas and the resentment and the frustration takes hold, that I am here on a much higher level, and this is a Maimed HaSinai, and this fellow is a shaita, and a chabdaj satan with them, and what this problem is his problem. I remember once, some Adam Godel, who was a very practical person besides, said, "You know what it is? When a person ba'avels you, you want to react. You should know, don't let his problem become your problem." So maybe think a way of saying it. Don't let his problem become your problem. But you get sucked in because you want to react. Somebody habala hargacha, hashkim lahargai. So you want to react, and if you are in a madrega that you don't react violently, then you will run away. So he says, don't run away. You can't run away. You're Maimon HaSinai. Never mind what the Gabbai represents if you try to figure it out. This yesod that you're paralyzed is because the Das did not anticipate the problem and stop it before it takes hold. But the Koyches HaKeyim obliterate all opposition. Even though it's temporary, the damage that it causes can be forever. And passive aggression is the same as active aggression. Whether if a person screaming and yelling or a person treats somebody with silence, the pasuk that we just had in Parshas Kedoshim, "Sisna sachicha b'vavecha," is an unusual lav, because you're only over on "Sisna sachicha b'vavecha" if it remains b'vavecha. If you yell and scream at a person, you're not over on "Sisna sachicha b'vavecha." It's only if you don't talk to him, because from the yelling is eventually going to come some peace. Some peacemaking, but from the silence, it will never ever be repaired because the other person doesn't even know what you have against him. In the Aveira of Loisisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, there's a yesod that passive aggression can be worse than active aggression. And the ability to make somebody miserable does not have to be with fists or with words alone. The Bechira of a person should always be there. So what happens? So let's take a look with all of this hakdama to the way that the Mikhtav Meliyahu Rav Dessler Zechon Lebracha L'chayu L'mabo explains it. He starts with a mashal. The mashal in his time, it's halachas kama v'kama, in our time, somebody who smokes. Somebody who smokes. He says, there's a person that smokes a lot, and he says to such an extent that at night, when he's sleeping or when he's ready to go to sleep, he has this tremendous pain in his chest. Tremendous pain in his chest. Machlit, he says, while he has the pain, he decides he's never going to smoke again. I mean, you're talking about a person that understands that the pain that he has in his lungs, in his chest, is because he smokes a lot. I mean, that he knows. It's not that that's a subject by him. Maybe it comes from something else. And therefore continues to smoke. No. He knows it comes from the smoking, and Mimele, he's not going to smoke ever again. Because the pain is so severe. Kishakom lumacharos, acha avor shor kala, mis'ore boi horotzen la'ashem. And he gets up in the morning, after a certain amount of time, he suddenly has this urge to smoke. That's very interesting, because he does not speak in terms of addiction and of the physical need that's created chemically. That's an enemy from within that, you know, he's not even talking about. But he speaks about the rotzon itself. It's interesting that he senses, without speaking in that terminology, that the reason that he has this rotzon is because he's so used to it. It's not so much that he's used to it, as much as the fact that he is used to it is a simon that it's taken over his body chemically. And he now has a physical need, not just a need in the mind, but an actual physical need. So that's what addiction is, whether it's alcoholism or anything else. So he says, "Kishe'oymed harotzen hazeh neged yiras hakeev, anu mafchinim she'oymer l'nafshoy, e'oshen no ach achas." I'll only smoke one cigarette, because he knows that the smoking is hurting him, and that the pain when he has it is severe. And maybe even suspects that it's life-threatening. But at least the pain is severe. So he says, but from one cigarette, nothing's going to happen. So he deludes himself into saying, I'll smoke one. Ki b'zeh ha-ma'at b'vadei lo yichav li. So he goes ahead and he smokes. Then when he has a desire to smoke again, he says, well, this is also only one cigarette. V'kachu ha'iluchu ma'ashin kol ha'yon kula. U'balai lo yachzer lo yakev. So he says, a person should realize that yesterday he also said, I'll only smoke one, and he ended up smoking a whole day, and he ended up having the pain. So how many days have to go by before he's chacham enough to chap that he's not in control? And then he can't say, I'll only smoke one cigarette, because it doesn't happen that way. He says, that once he allows himself even one cigarette, he's going to fall into that trap and he's going to smoke many. So he says the following. If a person would have genuinely in front of him both alternatives equally available, namely, to smoke and not to smoke, to enjoy the cigarette or to feel the ka'ef, and shnei shvilim ufanecha, and choose, he is convinced that the person would go chayat b'chayim. He would choose, it's not worth the ka'ef. Of course, there are some people who would have those two before him and say that I'll have the cave, and I know that I'll have the cave, but it is worth it. That's already achreya hebel ve'yabot. But until that point, you know, that's a famous medrash of the person who bent down, where did you get such a good schnapps? So he says, I'm asking to be misgala ba'ofer. It's a proof positive that it's the proof, you'll forgive me the pun, but it's a proof positive that this is a very good schnapps. But if you didn't reach that madrega, if you didn't descend that low, and if it hasn't completely obliterated your Havana, so what happened? The Teretz says he doesn't have the two thoughts in front of him, the Vasachas. When he wants to smoke, he's not feeling the pain in his chest. That goes back to what I said before, B'negei the Beis HaLevi. If a person feels that the bridge is collapsing, Hitaka will not decide to go weiter. And he's not going to remember even the title. If at the moment of having the pain in his chest at night, he does not take a cigarette and say, Afal PK. So what happened? The Teretz says, Rav Dessler, this is his mahalach, ki yodua, that you cannot have both thoughts bevasachas. Remarkable thing. Maybe unless you have das. He says it as follows. Il mole hatozu, ilu hoyu lefon of shnei haritzonos. Haritzon shelo yichavlo, that it shouldn't hurt anymore. For haritzon la'ashing. There you go. And he would be able to sit like a judge in his throne up there with calm and collected, clear thinking. Then he would never He wants to know, if you have a shikul, the ka'ev will always win out, and he will stop smoking because it hurts too much, then why does he continue smoking? Why does the weaker choice win? So he wants to know, how did that happen? How is it possible that he was blinded by the desire to smoke, not to see clearly enough that he should be able to choose what is obvious, that he doesn't want to have that pain or he doesn't want to have that sickness? Which he knows very well. Again, it's not vayebolu. He knows that he's going to get sick. He knows that it hurts terribly. He knows that because of the smoking, this is what's happening. He knows everything. You know, you have a pack of cigarettes. The pack of cigarettes started out with nothing written on it. Then they add that the Surgeon General says that this is not good for your health. Now, I don't know what it says in a pack of cigarettes, but there's a picture of the stolen bones, let's say, and it says in the pack of cigarettes that if you take this, you'll die. It wouldn't stop the people who smoke. It would not. The thing is staring in your face. Cost of hand, nothing. So what's the pshat? So he's trying to explain how that happens. He says it cannot be the desire to smoke. And here I think, at least Lagabe smoking, he may be a little bit on thin ice. Because he's saying that the desire to smoke cannot be as great as desire that it shouldn't hurt. And I'm not so confident that once the body changes and takes over, that that is the case. Every alcoholic knows that he's going to have cirrhosis of the liver if he keeps it up. The fact. And every alcoholic knows many other things too, that he'll lose his job, that he's not going to be able to function properly at home, that he may destroy his marriage, that his children won't have any respect for him. There are a lot of things that an alcoholic knows. So all of these things that he knows, how come he's still drinking so much? And how come it is that once he drinks a little bit, he goes right back to it? They can't even take a drop into the lips. The Teretz is because their bodies have changed. There is now a chemical need. And it's very possible that all of the addictions have that problem. For example, there's an addiction to gambling. And if you don't understand it as an addiction, it's inconceivable. A person gets a few dollars in his hands, and he needs to help his family, and he needs to be home at night, and he ends up destroying his mishpacha, churban, with a divorce, churban without a divorce, and he cannot stop from running to the slot machine or to the poker game or whatever it is. What is it? A real, genuine hava mina that one day he's going to hit the jackpot? That all he has accomplished is that he's destroyed everything in sight. Ends up owing huge amounts of money, sometimes could get involved with the mafia that lent him, and he can't pay back, and his life is in danger. And v'chulei v'chulei. What's the pshat? So the teretz is, he has a chemical change in his body. So you say, alcohol is a substance. Drugs are a substance. Nicotine is a substance. But what is gambling? Gambling is a hashkafa. It's an attitude. It's a thing that's outside of you. No? I mean, not that I'm a doctor, and I'm certainly not a psychiatrist, but mir dachtsach that all addictions actually change you. It's the ultimate vayehebolo. It's a vayehebolo that makes the person a prisoner, not of a culture, of a vision, but a prisoner of the biology itself. But he's not learning like that. He says that Avada, if he had the two ideas in front of him, he would cease to smoke. So what is preventing him? Why is he noita to this toast of smoking? So he says, a very big yisoy. Mikan onu lemeidim. Sha'odom yochol hu lahasiach daitoy min ha'emes habrur aloy. V'lechoiz bedimyoin asher yechas aloy al ha'sheker. Shnei ha'ritzoynois lefana v'hu b'liboy mis'alei min ha'echod v'oicheiz b'asheni. Mi goram lo yazeh. How can a person have two things in front of him which he knows what is right and what is wrong, what is good for him and what is bad for him, and still choose to completely ignore the good and favor the bad? Mi goram loy. Loy ha'ritzoynois garmim. El ha'odom hu ha'goyrem la'atzmai. Ki yochol loyma la'atzmai matay elis li b'sheker. Ha'loy ha'mitzius loy tatim im dimyoni. V'soif kol soifim eshma'a la'dimyon yeh li keiv chazak balayla. Foz bevaday lo yashen. The Meiridika Yisoy that he's about to say, and the Yisoy is a tremendous answer to a kasha that I always had about people who are learning in yeshiva. Someone once came to me when I just started being a Rebbe many, many years ago. And I talked to them about how Medav Zachnemen in the Hentarein, and a person has to sit by the Gemara with Hasmogen, with Cheshek, with a Bren. And then, it's not the Kishrin, I told them. Avada, the Vilna Goyim is the Vilna Goyim. So how come people said, Asme Vilna, Kem, and Verna Goyim? That's also true. You won't be the Vilna Goyim. But if you're Vilna, you'll be a Goyim. Because everybody has Kaychus in learning that they have no Hasoga what they are. And you see, I told them many examples where people had relatively shvacher a gap, and they managed to accomplish unbelievable things. They wrote sforim, they were Rashi Yeshiva, and nishtafka that they were identified in the cheder and in the yeshiva, that they were the most brilliant of the Talmud. And lehefech, there are some Talmudim that were edyon legoyim of teferes, and nothing happened with them. I said, because together with kishrin, you have to apply your cheshek and your hasmad. So one of the Talmidim comes over to me and he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Isn't Cheshek and Hasmoda also a skill, a talent, a Kishrin? You have some people that have brilliant minds and some people who don't. The person has a brilliant mind can make a calculation of how many bricks there are in a wall just by looking at it. They can understand the most complicated mathematical equations. The most difficult Taisvis with the Shach and the Taz of Machulik on what the Pshat of the Taisvis is, and the most complicated in Yonim of Migul, Migul Lahoitzi, Migul Mafreya, and by him it's Mamish Azevi Vaso. And I don't even begin to understand what the Rebbe's talking about. So you say, well, this person has more Kishrin, this person has less Kishrin. That's how they were born. Isn't Ratzin and Cheshek also a Kishrin? I wasn't born with that appetite for learning. I wasn't born with that zis flesh. I was born with fliggin in my pants. And a kind of zitzin. Ratzain is also a Kishrin, he said to me. So I didn't really have a clear answer for him at the time, because it seemed to me that in a certain sense he's right. Just like people have better capacity to absorb, people have better capacity to comprehend, they also have better kishrinus. Now we have ADD and ADHD and alazachen, but I was told, stam, his person has an ability to sit over a gemara, and the other person is looking at the whole world. He doesn't have that ability. It's a buzz moment for now. Some people seem to have a natural desire to do the right thing, and some people have nesiyonis from the day that they were born. The Beisav already is pulling out to go to the Beisav of Gezara in the womb. But that's a kishrin, it's a certain edelkeit, it's a certain part of a personality. You see babies when they're born, the children when they're 2-3 years old, when before they have a havana of what's going on with their life. Some are more edel than others. And I thought that if that's the case, he's right. You make demands on a person, you tell the person you have to be smarter than you are, you have to have 120 IQ when you only have 95. You can't do that. So how can I tell him that he has to have ratzon and cheshek? Comes along the Michta Melio, and he says no. I was thinking, the pasuk says, Peseach es yodecha, masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Ratzon is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everyone in the Bria. And if a person has some sort of a machla, maybe he loses that ratzon. But in the normal person, there's ratzon. And he tainus that without that ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never expect bechira. So what does the ratzon mean? What does he mean by ratzon? He says, I have the ability not to allow that koyach in me that wants the cigarette to prevail. And I can never say that it has won over me. And again, we'll talk about this idea of addiction in a minute, because he himself is meramis to it. He says there are occasions when even people who are nichshel prevailed. Maybe by them it's a rare opportunity, a rare occasion. But there are times that they decided, nay, I will not succumb. Person stands in front of the internet, b'chadri chadorim, it's in the middle of the night, nobody's up. And there's nobody to stop him, and he doesn't have any of the filters, and doesn't have anything. And he now has a choice. And there'll be a day that he has whatever the reason is, whatever taiva is prompting him, and he wants to look at something he's not supposed to look at. Each one according to his madrega, what it means not supposed to look. And he decides, vasidus, the schmutz, his hevel, his shtus, it's not going to do anything for me anyhow. Akapara, and he shuts it off. So the Reb Dessler says, if it ever happened to a person that he had that koyach, he sees that he has the koyach. You know, as a person cannot say, I don't have that koyach, because there are times and days that he had that nisayon, and he was oimed ben nisayon. So when a person succumbs, what he's doing is doing two things that are almost in opposite directions. On the one hand, he's giving empowerment, because he says that there's no such thing as being completely mishubad. There's no such thing as not having the ability to control. And at the same time that he's giving the empowerment, he's giving you a tremendous machayiv that says you're always liable and you're always guilty if you failed. Because you had the opportunity to succeed. And you allowed yourself to succumb. So this, of course, is the classic yisoid of Musa, as I told you at the beginning of the shiur. Musa says that there's a das in the person that you have to be willing to suspend before those koichas take over. So when a person looks at the soup, it's not pshat that a person is be'etzim be'kas and he's just looking for an opportunity. Biruchim once said, it says by Pinchas, Vayokom mitoicho eda vayikach reimach biyodai. He took the reimach. Mashma that the reimach before that was sitting on the table. He says, not like those people who have a reimach all day in their pocket looking for the opportunity. It's vayikach reimach. So a person has the opportunity to do aveira, to be nichshal, to follow his nether kaychais, to be mata himself, letzad hara, or letzad hachomer, or letzad hamachla, whatever it is, only after he suspends it. You don't walk around with a constant kas. The kas has to be triggered. When the kas is triggered, it will conquer everything until it calms itself down. But according to Rav Dessler, the moment before the kas happened, he knew that he's about to erupt. And at that moment, he has control. And if he erupted, it's because he gave up control. And he refuses to allow you to think that the person was helpless. Even though he admits that the moment that the kas takes control, indeed at that moment he is helpless. Just like the person who takes the side. Once you decide you're going to take the cigarette, nothing's going to stop him. So he says, and he says, what happens if a person was never zeicher to be oimed bin nisayon? He was always a prisoner of his taifa. And he never conquered. He never had that moment of conquest. Because his experience will say the opposite, that every time he had some good idea, and maybe he shouldn't do it, he did it anyhow. So he thinks and he's convinced that there's no such thing as Bechira. He says, those people who say the magic words, I can't do it, I can't be good, I can't learn, I can't sit by the Gemara, I can't close the internet, and on and on and on, or on certain people, kind of whatever other types they have, I can't stop looking, I can't. He says, those people, if they've had the opportunity to be Oymed bin Isayon, then they know that they can. And that it's just because they gave up too soon. It's because there's a part of them that doesn't want to fight, that doesn't want to spend the energy, that doesn't want to have the agenda of being Oymed bin Isayon. Because it's a battle royal. But those people who always gave in, they end up denying the possibility of Bechir altogether. He says, if you hear a person that says there's no such thing as free will, there's no such thing as being able to be controlled. I know a lot of times, I mean, it's hard to believe, but I know a person that says, you really can't change. There's no such thing as changing. And the person is a big maimon in that sense. A maimon, you know, there's a Eibishter, there's Chavya. So I was a little bit deeper. Why does such a person say that you can't change and yet still believe? So you know what the answer is? It comes actually from a very positive thing that was warped. Because be'etzem, if a person really believes that you can't really change, then that person does not believe in tshuva. And if a person doesn't believe in tshuva, it's a kaifer. It's kfira. Now what's the pshat? So how can an elech yid be a kaifer? That person is bound by one yisoy. And that is that the worst thing that could possibly be is guilt. So what does guilt have to do with this? There's certain people that if they feel guilty, it's the end of the world mamish. And they will do everything and touch of everything so that they should not be guilty. When a person has no bechira, he's never guilty. Because whatever he does, he was compelled to do by his nature, by his mitzias, by the way he was born, by his genes. And therefore you're never guilty. Sometimes the yira needs dafka, a teretz, because it's too overwhelming. So a person says, I had a brera. You are what you are. So if I need to be what I am, then I make a philosophy. So you are what you are also. Memela, people do not change. But what if a person discovered something that they're not 100% about, and you believe that you could change? So then you have to change. No, changing is nish pashit. Tshuva is an avoida kosher. So to make your, it's not looking for heterim. It comes from the exact opposite makor. It's a tremendous sense of guilt and responsibility. So how can I feel that guilty? It's the end of the world. I'm supposed to be good. So memela, there's no change. People can't change. They are what they are. If a Rav believed that people couldn't change, he has to become a truck driver. It is a yesod mutzak of every person who's responsible to give hadracha and mussar and hashkafa, that what the person was yesterday, he does not have to be tomorrow. And ein davar oimid b'fnei haratzon. That's really the insight of what he's saying in this first paragraph. And then, of course, in Tzeinu Lemeidim, he says at the last piece before Perek Beis, we'll stop after this, Ki toichen ha-bechira ha-toiva u-lehavchin ba-achdus ha-emes v'she'ein mitziyu zulas ha-emes v'zo ha-koyach shal ha-koras ha-boiri yizbarach ha-bechira ha-roa hu shemavchin games ha-sheker ki mitziyus. He says that the bechira of a person is uvacharta b'chayim, is uvacharta b'emes. If a person says this is the emes and the other thing is sheker, he's not going to do the sheker. It's only because he somehow finds that the sheker is a shtickle emes also. And that bechira, he says, zekoyach ha-koyfrim, right? Shal yodoy koyfrim be'ikar loymar be'ez rishu yaseim. Again, you can't change because there's a force of evil that's equal to the force of good. And I am subject to that force of evil as well. The Amru Zal Ezu Kil El Zar, Sheyesh Begufa Shal Adam, Havi Omer Zayet Zahara. The Amru Birushalmi Kol HaShemeh Li Yitzray, Kilo Evid Avod Zara. It's the exact same word as I said, by Kol HaKayis Kilo Evid Avod Zara. If he listens to his Yetzer, that means he's allowing a Kayach to take over, which he had the ability to deny and to challenge. So the Yisoid, let's just summarize. What Rav Dessler said over here was that if a person has in front of him the two choices equally, he will never choose the Rav. If he's makir the emes as emes, he will never choose the sheker. The problem is that he allows the sheker amidas ha-emes. He gives the sheker a foothold by not making the conscious decision in advance not to pay attention to the sheker. Once he makes that decision, then he is succumbing to the sheker takes over completely. So what a person does is so totally absurd to the outsider who still has the ability to make that decision and has the ability to judge because he's independent of the type. That's why when you take the movie, as I told you at the beginning of the cast, and you show it to the same person afterwards, he thinks that the person in the movie is the biggest jerk you should be mechumi in the world. And that how could he possibly destroy a marriage or try to destroy a marriage for shtusim and avolim, especially since they didn't have anything to do with his wife to begin with. So what is the soup? It wasn't the soup. So the Teretz is he allowed himself to descend into a matzav that now in the proper judgment that he has, which is called Bechira, he would never allow to happen in a million years because Batsam, he's a good person and he's fond of his wife. He doesn't have any problems. All of that comes out and causes that ultimate damage that is never really resolved because he was not able to control himself. So he says, wrong! I couldn't control myself, he says. He says, there's no such thing. He says, you failed to control yourself. You're guilty of not controlling yourself because you could have controlled yourself. That's the insight that he says. That a person who says, I couldn't control myself, what he's saying is that when it was moment before the kaas, I didn't take advantage of that moment to deny myself that kaas. And that is because I gave up my bechira. When you give up your bechira, you are guilty of giving up your bechira, but you had the bechira to give up. So as I said, it empowers you, but it also gives you that responsibility and the guilt that is associated with not doing it. So this is the first perek of a number of prakim, which we will continue Bezes Hashem next time.